All right, today's scripture comes from the first chapter of the Gospel of John. We'll be reading verses 10 through 18. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. To that, born not of natural descent, nor of human descent, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with God, has made him known." This part of the Gospel of John is often referred to as the prelude. It sets the stage for the whole book. And one of the greatest things that John wants to share with us is that God came to this earth. And I'm so thankful that God did. And God came in a way that helped people to understand. One of the stories that I heard mentioned years ago that I'll share with you about, do you recognize him? And I know some of you have heard this before, but it's such a beautiful illustration. There was a man that was at home as his family went to Christmas Eve service. They went to Christmas Eve service and he stayed at home because he didn't feel the need to go. And as he was at home, he sat by the fireplace, staying warm, and he could look out through their large window there and see that it was snowing. And the snow just continued to come down. This must have been a story from up north somewhere. Because when the snow starts to come down here, the first thing people do is run to the grocery store to buy supplies for French toast. Right? Milk, eggs, and bread. And so it must have been up north where they're used to this. And as he sat there, he could see these birds just in the midst of this storm, and it kind of bothered him that the birds didn't have a way to get out of the storm. Where he lived, they had a barn, and so he decided what he would do is he would go and open up the barn, turn the light on, and give the place to the birds for the night for them to be able to go in there and get out of the snow and out of the wind. What a nice thought. And he tried all that he could to get the birds to understand what he was doing for them. And the birds could not understand what he was doing for them. He could try to herd them, but what do? They just fly off somewhere else. He couldn't get them to understand that, and as he was thinking about it, all of a sudden it dawned on him. I'm just way too big. What if I could be the size of a bird, and I could communicate to them what I've just done for them? And then it really struck him. Is that not what God did when God came as a child? He came as a child because if God came and all of God's bigness, it's just too much. It would be overwhelming for us. As a matter of fact, Hebrew scriptures tell us that, like time and time again, that Hebrew scriptures tell us, if you meet God face to face, you're as good as dead. Because we're not holy enough to be in God's presence. We're not right enough to be in God's presence. Well, what if God comes as one of us? But the question is, do you recognize him? Do you know who he is? You see, this scripture says that Jesus came in the flesh and made a dwelling among us.
A few chapters in the book of Genesis, what does it say? God says, let us create humans in our own image. Well, who's God talking with?
God's talking with Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Let us create them in our image. But in this case, Jesus comes down in the flesh, just as this man wanted to be a bird so that he could communicate with the birds. Jesus comes in the flesh as a child that needs our help, that needs our care, that needs us, but yet ministers to us by his life. This word in the Greek about making a dwelling among us, it's the same word as setting up a tent. It's the same word, it relates to the same word in the Hebrew Bible about setting up the tabernacle, the place of God's dwelling, the place where God exists.
That makes him a 200% person. And my engineer up here is going to tell me that you can't do that, but we're not going to listen to you today.
Okay? He came as both. And he chose to dwell among us and to be among us. John clearly states in this program, in this prologue, that Jesus is God and has made God known. Jesus is God and has made God known. One of the things I like about the incarnation and Jesus coming and living here among this earth, on the earth with us, he shows us that it is possible to live the way God's asking us to live. It is possible. Relying upon God, relying upon the Holy Spirit, it is possible to live that way. And that's one of the things that the incarnation shows me. God coming as one of us and God living here upon this earth. The book of Hebrews says that he was tempted in every way that we're tempted. And because of that, he knows how to help us. What an exciting thing. We have a God that knows what it means to walk in our shoes. Because Jesus came here and walked in the flesh. He made God known throughout this whole thing. But one of the things is that the world did not recognize him as the Son of God. And even to this day, there are lots of people that don't recognize him as the Son of God. Many other people around the world believe Jesus to be a prophet. They believe Jesus to be a man of great wisdom. They believe Jesus to be one who taught wonderfully, well, and did a bunch of things in God's name. But they don't believe that he's the Son of God. This passage that I read tells us he is the Son of God. Now, part of our understanding of the doctrine of the Trinity comes from this passage. The Trinity is hard to understand. It's three or one. There are three different aspects of God, but it's all God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we say, how can that be that there's three that are one? How does that work? And the best thing I've ever come up with to understand this for myself is I am three in one. Now, I'm not calling myself God, okay? I am three in one. To my parents, I'm a son. Okay? To my wife, I'm a husband. To my children, I'm a father. Am I not three different things? And I relate differently in all of those relationships. As much as I would like sometimes to explain to my parents what they need to do as I would to my kids, that doesn't always work well, does it? It doesn't even work well to tell kids sometimes what they're supposed to be doing.
But you see, I'm three different things, am I not? I could say I'm four different things. I'm a friend to most of you. I mean, we just need to grab a hold of that in some way that we can. It's not easy. But it's there, and it's part of the understanding of God. So Jesus is the Son. He comes and acts in a different way than the Father does, than the Holy Spirit does. He comes and interacts in the world and teaches and preaches and brings healings, miracles. He does all kinds of incredible things that we don't see the Father doing. But I like what Jesus says. He says, I and the Father are one. And Jesus says, I can only do what the Father does. Sorry.
6'7".
At least I know there's somebody that understands that. 6'7". Don't ask Linda to explain it to you, but she understands it. One of the quotes I ran into last week that has really made me think so comes from Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi, as I understand his story, was going to church at one point in his life. And the people in the church told him, we don't want your kind here. So he accepted them at that face value and he didn't go back. He's known for saying this, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians, because he's known as a Hindu, but sometimes I wonder, because he says, I admire your Christ, but I don't like your Christians, because your Christians don't act like your Christ. You see, Jesus came to show us exactly what that looked like. So that we would know how to live and how to act and how to interact and how to react to this world. But yet so many times we don't follow his example, do we? We feel like there's other ways to do it. Jesus was the Son of God. Those who receive Jesus as the Son of God become a child of God by spiritual descent. Different, it says there in the scripture, not by a human's mind, not by a husband's mind, not by anybody else's mind. This is spiritual. And this is where Christians began a conversation and talking about, have you been born again? Have you been born in a spiritual way? Not just a physical way, but have you been born in a spiritual way? You see, we're all God's creation. But the way I understand Scripture is we're only part of the kingdom of God once we accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as our Savior, as our Lord. That's the only time that we become children of the kingdom of God. God created us, and God desires for all people to end up there. To end up with eternal salvation and to end up in heaven. But once again, most of this world does not recognize Jesus as the Son of God. I still remember walking into a Hindu temple in Kenya. And one of the other students that I was with asked our guide in the Hindu temple, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? Oh, come here, I'll show you. In part of their sanctuary, they had shelving. And on that shelving was images of every god they knew. And Jesus was there on the shelf with all the rest of them. With an offering box in front of it that you could leave an offering. And it was there for every god that they knew, because Hindus believe in a multiplicity of gods. And it was all there. And I remember him saying, Jesus was a great man, a wonderful prophet. Why? He never once said he was the Son of God.
And it's only when you believe him to be the Son of God and understand what he did for you that you actually become a child of the kingdom. One of the wonderful things about this is this relationship with God through Jesus Christ. From this relationship, we receive grace upon grace. I would encourage you to just take some time to think about what that actually means. We don't receive just grace. We receive grace on top of grace. We receive an overwhelming portion of grace. We receive so much grace that it's like the country song, "My cup runneth over and I'm drinking from the saucer." That's how much grace comes to our lives. Grace comes in overabundance in such a way that we cannot contain it all. And that grace should not only be pouring into us, it should be pouring through us, it should be flowing out of us everywhere we go. Matter of fact, we receive so much grace that we should be making grace puddles as we walk through this world for people to splash in. Think about that as an image for this week. Are you leaving puddles of grace behind you for other people to splash in? What is your life like? If we're receiving grace upon grace and it's being poured into us so much, it's going to flow out in all kinds of directions and it's going to be there for other people to experience. Now, is that not what it means to be like Christ? The Son of God. So I want to ask you, do you understand Jesus as the Son of God? And have you received him? Because this passage says you have to receive him. And when I talk about receiving him and what Scripture talks about in receiving Christ, it does not mean just taking. I imagine that a few of you got presents on Christmas Day. Some of you, since I know which Santa list you're on, probably didn't get any presents. But I'm assuming most of you got a Christmas present, and it was probably better than I did for my wife. It was wrapped up. We decided years ago that cardboard boxes are wrapping.
Okay.
It saves money. And it saves time. A cardboard box still hides the gift. And Amazon provides the cardboard box for free. We choose to use money for something else, John, than wrapping paper that you rip up and throw away. Think about that one for a little bit. Some of you received a gift. What gift would that, what good would that gift have done you if you never opened it? If you never unwrapped it? Oh, the bow's just too pretty. The wrapping paper's just too pretty. By the way, wrapping paper should not have glitter on it.
Amen.
Neither should bows or ribbons. Should not have glitter.
Yes. Neither should greeting cards.
Neither should greeting cards. Well, what would happen if you'd gotten a gift and you'd never opened it? Jesus Christ, God through Jesus Christ, sent you a gift. Have you opened it? Have you experienced it? Have you made it part of your life? Or is it just too pretty and it needs to sit on the shelf and be kept in case one day you want to use it? Have you received and opened and experienced and used the gift of Jesus Christ? The because he is the Son of God. You can only have eternal life when you do that. You can only have salvation when you do that. You can only have forgiveness when you do that. And you will get grace upon grace upon grace upon grace in a never-ending flow. Have you received Jesus Christ as the Son of God into your life? Let us pray. Lord, we come to you this morning because we recognize that we do need you. We recognize that you came to teach us, you came to help us to understand, to walk with us, to guide us, to direct us. And sometimes, Lord, we decide that we can do it on our own. We don't really need all that extra fluff. And that's the way many people view you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They think they can do it on their own. And Scripture tells us time and time again that they cannot. That we cannot. That I cannot. So Lord, I ask you to work in our hearts that there may be never anyone that can say, as Mahatma Gandhi said, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians because they don't act like your Christ. Lord, may we be people that know how to receive, accept, and share Jesus Christ with this world. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. We're a little bit different down here this morning, and so what I want to do is just take a moment, silent reflection. Number one, what have you just heard? And what do you need to do with it? What have you just heard and what do you need to do with it? And secondly, how does your heart need to be prepared to accept the gift of Jesus Christ in communion? So let's take a couple of minutes of silence, and then I'll leave us in prayer. Lord, we have heard your voice this morning. And Lord, you've challenged each and every one of us in some way. And I guess it would be, as the scripture says, he who has ears to hear, hear. And so Lord, show us what we need to hear. And help us to take some time with it. And to think about. Well, one of the things we do as we gather today, we go back and think about what you did for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Something that's hard to understand. Jesus said very few people would die for a good man. Jesus came to die for all of us. We might experience you in a new way, in a deeper way. So Lord, as we go to this table now to celebrate what Jesus did for us in sacrifice, show us what we need to do and show us where we need to sacrifice that other people might come to know about this week. In Christ's name we pray. Thank you. was on the night when he was betrayed that Jesus took bread. And it says that he gave thanks to it. He said, God, we thank you for the grain of the field, for the way it strengthens us, the way it helps us, the way it keeps us always looking to you.
Oh, I see.
And then he broke the bread. And he looked at them and he said, this is my body, broken for you. Eat that you might live. Same way. After the meal, he took one of the cups that night and he raised it and said, God, we thank you for the juice of the vine, for the way it quenches our thirst and the way it always keeps us centered on you. And then he looked at his disciples and he said, This cup is my blood. Blood of the new covenant poured out for you that you might live, drink that you may live. Thank you. Thank you for the precious gift of your Son, who died on the cross to pay for our sins, who came and lived here to teach us how to live, because it was so hard to understand. Lord, if we could just pattern ourselves after his love and his willingness to give away, we too would lead many people to you. Lord, thank you for the sacrifice, but also thank you for the empty tomb, because it's in that empty tomb that we know death does not have victory. One day, if we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and our Lord and Savior, we too will be resurrected to new life. It's in his name we pray.